this tastes good. I'm feeling empty and misunderstood. I should be thankful, Lord, I know that I should. Oh, Lord, I hope this tastes good.
Howdy, everybody. Campbell Smith welcoming each and every one of you into episode 170 of Justified Pursuit. Riding shotgun, as always, the good counselor Chisholm Cook. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Got some rain last night. Still not enough to raise the lake level.
Yeah.
But very hopeful that that's coming. Wife's home. 13-year-old is home. They were up in your neck of the woods for a tournament. Got to spend 3 days in downtown Dallas, which apparently was quite the experience for both of them.
Sounds terrible.
Thankfully, God answered my prayers and sent them, at least on two occasions, watchful men who had their backs. And apparently one of the moms from our team on some kind of shuttle ride had to make sure that some potential ne'er-do-wells knew that she was armed and ready to protect herself.
On a shuttle ride?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. I think she said shuttle, either that or the DART train or something. They were using public transportation
downtown. So she had to flash her piece?
Apparently. Yeah.
Wow. That's aggressive.
Or at least let him know she had it somehow. I don't... Yeah.
Well, I'm glad they're all right.
Yeah.
And the moral of the story is, don't go to big blue cities, y'all. Stay the hell out.
Right. Yep. But one of those people who was watching after them was a what appeared to be homeless, vaping, high 60-something-year-old black man who totally got their attention and warned them to watch themselves and was warning about two gentlemen on the same shuttle in particular. Huh. And basically just kind of giving my wife the 411 covertly as they rode.
Well,
that was cool.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. If Charlotte ever had, which I think at one time she probably sort of maybe did, big ambitions about moving off to the big city, this has got her second thinking twice about it.
Well, you could always just go to, Draggyland. You go down to A&M, stay out of the big city.
Right.
You're not going to get away from it. If A&M's infested with the mind disease, you're not getting away from it no matter where you go. Which is why our job as parents has never been more important.
Correct. Man,
not that our parents' jobs weren't important, but I don't feel like we were facing... No, I know we weren't. Boys weren't trying to be girls in the late 80s and early 90s. What was the worst thing that could happen? Like a stranger rolling up in a van and offering you candy. That was really the only thing they told us to watch out for. Don't talk to strangers. Could you imagine? If that's the only thing we had to tell our kids in 2024, don't talk to strangers. There's so much worse things than that.
Yeah. We have to deprogram them from literally everything the world is trying to teach them.
I forgot to tell you this, and that's weird because we actually were at turkey camp together last week. Did I tell you this? Whenever, I think maybe I did. We didn't talk about it on the show. Whenever I took Henry to Jack in the Box after his baseball game, I told you about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And some folks with bad intentions. So I ordered him his sandwich, whatever. It's like 9 o'clock at night. I've already eaten. Order him some fast food. They're like, all right, can you pull your truck around to the front? So I pull all the way around. I'm not in a parking spot. I'm just facing like I'm going back towards the drive through that I just went through. And I look behind me once they bring the food out, put the truck in reverse. There's nobody back there. Start slowly backing up, and then all of a sudden, just bam, right into someone's car. I'm like, that car was not there. And all of a sudden, two black guys jump out. And they're like, hey, give me your insurance. Give me your insurance. I'm like, whoa, dude. You know, so they start like coming up aggressively to the car. So I get out and I was like, hey, yeah, I'll give you the insurance, but we're going to all just chill out. There's no reason you need to be so aggressive. And I'm like, taken aback by how forward these, why is the other guy out too that got out of the passenger side? And I think they just were trying to shake me down to get my insurance without having to give me anything in return so that they could file a claim. The trucks, I mean, my truck was fine. Their car was beat to hell already. It was just one more dent into basically a car that was a series of big dents. And the point is, I said, let's just call the cops. We'll wait for the cops to get here and they'll sort everything out because I'm not real comfortable. And they were like, nope, no cops. And they just basically got in their car and left. Think they were up to any good?
You know, you say that you think they were trying to shake you down, but they asked for your insurance.
Yeah, so that, well, you can file a claim and just say, this guy hit me, here's all the damage, and then you can just...
Seems like they would just ask you for whatever cash you had.
Well, then yeah. I didn't let them get to that point because I basically said, we're just going to call the cops.
Maybe they just were playing a long game on you.
I don't know.
You start by claiming I'm going to make an insurance claim and then just shake you down for whatever you got in your pocket. I don't know.
Well, but if you got in a wreck, would you immediately jump out of the vehicle and before the other person even could realize what happened, be like right by their window demanding for stuff?
No.
And wreck, I'm using, it's a loose term. It wasn't really a wreck. Like, I probably didn't even do
anything. Bumped into each other in a parking lot.
Yeah. But it seemed like they did it on purpose to set me up. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. But I mean, that's the world we live in now.
Yeah.
Nefarious folks doing shady things.
That's the tip of the iceberg, bro.
Yeah. And then the guy stole my credit card from Taco Bueno like a month ago. I told you that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess the moral of that story is just don't eat fast food.
Plenty of good reasons to stick by that mantra.
But it's kind of hard when your kids finish their athletic stuff at like 9, 10 o'clock at night. You're like, oh, let's go home and cook so you can stay up till midnight. No.
I had an In-N-Out double-double animal and protein style last night with animal fries. So,
What's an animal fry?
They have a sauce that's kind of probably like, it's a lot like whatever they put on a Big Mac, that kind of Thousand Island dressing type sauce.
So it's good, yeah.
It's amazing. Uh-huh. Yeah, animal style is this sauce with grilled minced onions as well mixed in with it that they'll top your fries or a burger with.
But you had it with lettuce, no bun.
Right.
Yeah.
Go to In-N-Out, ask them animal style, and then thank me later.
Well, I mean, if I was going to go to In-N-Out, I would only be getting it without a bun.
Yeah, well, that's protein style, so that's why it's an animal protein and style, protein right. style. Yeah. But you got to get
maybe
the animal style.
I should
style.
Change my vernacular sauce. And start telling people protein style because I just say, I don't want a bun.
Right. Protein style.
Well, I got to get with
it's
the time.
Very, protein I like style. I like the strength of that, you know. Mm. Instead of like, I don't want a bun, it's give it to me protein style.
Just put meat in my mouth, my man.
Right.
Mark that.
Suddenly it got weird. How did it get weird?
It was all masculine. So I just came from a CT scan.
Yeah.
Yeah, got to get these hernias fixed from mm-hmm. doing too much core workout, trying to strengthen my dilapidated back.
Why are you getting a CAT scan on a soft tissue issue? That seems weird.
I don't know. I just do what the doctor tells me. Mm-hmm. And I think he wanted to know exactly where they are and how big they are. So that he
I'm asking that because my understanding surgery. Of a CAT scan, unless that technology has changed, is that that's a bone scan, not a soft, like an MRI would show you tears and muscle fibers where a CAT scan could not, but maybe CAT
All I know is they made me drink the dye and then they did a scan of my abdomen. I've had an MRI in my back. That was like a 30-minute long process. It seemed like it was in the machine forever. This was over in 5 minutes. But they make you drink this dye. That was a weird feeling. Have you ever had to drink the dye? Or you don't drink it. They put it. It was intravenous. They put in. Right. Gave me an IV. But the lady was like, "You're gonna feel like you're having a hot flash." I'm like, "Well, I don't know what that feels like." And she's like, "Good point. You're gonna feel like this warm sensation, and you might feel like you're peeing yourself." And I did not feel like that. I felt like I was having diarrhea, and I was like, "Do I need to check?" But she's like, "Don't worry, you won't be doing it. It'll just feel like it." She wasn't wrong.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's got to be good for you.
Very off-putting.
Some stuff in your veins that makes your skin feel like it's on fire and like you're crapping yourself. I'm sure that's super helpful.
I know what is good for you. Getting the two holes in your abdomen fixed and whatever the process that leads to that not hurting anymore, sign me up for that.
Hopefully you don't end up with cancer one day.
Well, do you want to live life for the next?
I'm espousing one of our most fundamental tenets of justified pursuit, which is skepticism of the medical industry, which is necessary now more than ever. And I've had these procedures myself, so I'm not exactly just like,
when you're like actually physically hurt and incapacitated, you have to, on some level, just trust the medical field to get you better. Like, what is your other?
You have to hope.
Alternative.
You have to hope.
Yeah, hope.
No, I'm not. You don't have an alternative. That's not the point I'm making. Mm. All I'm saying is that when they shoot you up with stuff that is apparent on a radiology scan, it makes me wonder, like, can that be good for you? You ever seen those images that Rogan talks about all the time of the hands of x-ray technicians from like 80 to 100 years ago? Mm-mm. So in the old days, x-ray techs, you know, now if you go get an x-ray, the tech is standing behind a lead wall with a lead apron on, right?
And you're supposed to be having some kind of lead protection over your...
Right, and generally they'll put like, a little lead bib over your balls if it's in that general vicinity, right, or whatever. Mm. Well, back before they really seemed to have had a grasp on how toxic x-ray technology could be, the techs would use the machine and calibrate before... Did you lose me there?
No, your microphone did that weird thing. Like,
is it back?
We're trying to make this professional production, and you're always dragging us back down a couple levels. Yeah, you're good now. Maybe four levels.
Another USB down. Going out a problem, I guess, because I barely shook the desk and it glitched out. Anyway, these techs would use their hand to test and calibrate the machine before a patient came in. So if you're ever bored and want to be nauseated and maybe have a hard time sleeping, Google x-ray technicians, like hand scans or something like that. And what you'll find is that these mostly women nurses from, like I said, like the 40s, have these horribly deformed hands with all of these bone tumors. And it's creepy, man, because they basically radiated themselves into cancer. It's not cool.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad they make you wear the lead vest now. Lead protectant, whatever it is. Medicine's come a long way. And then I think then we slammed it in reverse in 2020, and it seems to be kind of still going down that path.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about before 2020, I think everyone generally was like pretty... I don't think we were all as skeptical of modern medicine as we are now.
My skepticism started with the birth of our first child. In fact, I had a little bit before that, and then it got really ramped up the night that Riley was born. But to your point, any remaining faith I have in the Western medical system was obliterated beginning in, I guess, April of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I have zero left. So.
Did you watch the eclipse?
I was outside for it, but our overcast was so thick that you couldn't even tell where the sun was. So it was a real, real letdown. Got dark though. That was kind of cool.
All right.
There was no seeing the eclipse.
I had very low expectations. Kind of was like, I guess someone better remind me when it's like 1:30. So I'll go outside and like pay attention to this once in a 3-lifetime deal that's happening.
They happen twice a year somewhere on the globe, but anyway.
Yeah, yeah. But not here.
Right.
And the next, the last one here, in, well, in McKinney was like in the 1700s, and the next one will be, you know, will be long in the ground, like 300 years before it happens again. But my wife went to this mom's group at this church. I think she goes twice a month. And Aaron came back and was like, I guess I should go get the kids out of school. And I was like, why? She's like, well, all the other moms are taking the kids out of school so they can watch the thing as a family. And I was like, but isn't the school already taking them outside and giving them eyewear? And like, didn't some of them even make plates to cut eye holes to like protect everything? She's like, yeah, 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 they did. I was like, okay, so this seems unnecessary. And she's like, but they'll be like one of only seven or eight kids in their class. And I'm like, so you went to Mom's Connection. We had already discussed like, well, yeah, the kids are just going to watch it at school. And now you've been shamed by these other moms that are making poor decisions that you have to now, you also have to make the poor decision. She's like, I'm going to go get the kids. I said, okay. So now I have to pretend like I give a damn because she's now taking them. She's taking them out of school. They come home for like 30 minutes. I go run an errand, come back. They're gone. She's taking them back to the school so they can watch it on the, like from basically the school playground. That's where all the parents that took their kids out of school went to, back to the school they took their kids out of. It was so funny. All
could
that
y'all
aside,
see it, or was it?
Yes, dude. It was. I had such low expectations and basic disinterest in the whole thing that I was glad that Aaron was like, "Get up here and watch this with your kids," because it was super cool. And I only invested, you know, 15 minutes of my life in it, but it was well worth watching.
Yeah, I wish we could have seen the sun. We could see the one. You know, we had the annular eclipse in like October.
Yeah,
that's the one where it doesn't totally black out the sun. It leaves the ring of fire.
Yeah.
We could see that through some thin clouds. So that was cool. And, you know, we were certainly in the path of totality. But, yeah, all we got to see, watch, was it get dark.
I mean, the birds stopped chirping and flew into trees. Because they're like, it's time to go.
Man, we had this flock of buzzards, like 30 buzzards that flew back and forth over my house and the neighbor's house during that phase, like low enough and just like still like flying together where you could just like hear their wings whistling through the air. It was really weird.
Oh, yeah. Crickets start chirping. Odd.
Yeah.
Odd, odd. But yeah, I thought it exceeded my very low expectations. Tell me about the Harvard law professor, Randall Kennedy. You sent me a text regarding this dude, ruffling feathers. Opposite though of his colleague, what's her name? Claudine Gay. Yeah. If you don't remember, essentially this Harvard law professor is the one saying they need to get away from DEI. Remember that?
Yeah.
And he's African American.
Right.
Didn't go over very well. I'm surprised he hasn't gotten fired. But that would make sense. Protect Claudine Gay, the plagiarist that's all DEI all the time.
And yeah, interestingly, he published that thing in the Crimson, you know, it's the Harvard Crimson, right? That's their mascot, and their daily paper is called like the Crimson Journal or the Crimson Review or whatever. School newspaper, which had written extensively on the Claudine Gay nightmare. Man, you know, my take on it is by requiring academics to profess and flaunt faith in DEI, I mean, he's using the right language, right?
Mm-hmm.
The proliferation of diversity statements poses a profound challenge to academic freedom. So he's specifically talking about they make these professors now and even students who are applying, write out a DEI statement. We haven't ever really talked about this that I can think of. Not just professors. Like if you apply for a professorship, you're going to have to submit a DEI statement. How you personally, you know, are atoning for your role in systemic slavery and will be combating it or systemic racism and combating it via DEI. But then They make you, like, if you're going to write an article, like, if you're going to do a study, you have to have an in your abstract a DEI statement about how your study is going to further the objectives of DEI. Even if your study is about, like, whale sex, you have to put a DEI angle on it. No, I'm not kidding. Like, every, I'm not bullshitting. Every study, every paper, every work of academia now, certainly at the, quote, elite institutions, these professors are having to make these DEI commitments and statements, right? And the reality is it means that a lot of scholarly work just doesn't get done, because if it is going to show some sort of racial disparity, then they basically can't do it unless they fabricate everything and falsify it to make it look like the reason for the disparity is systemic racism, other than maybe some other issue like, you know, not having dads around or whatever.
Right.
So he's primarily going after that and pointing out this is the opposite of academic freedom. If you're boxing us into this ideology, which is really more like a theology at this point, and making us filter everything through that lens, then there is no such thing as academic freedom. Spot on, sir.
Ding, ding, ding.
But it's part of their, dude, the tide is turning. Like, did you see where that guy, and I just hate the fact that he calls himself this, but that dude, Charlemagne the God.
The God, yeah.
Yeah, that was, you know, the one that Joe Biden told he ain't black if he's not voting for him, right?
It's funny that you bring up Charlemagne the God, because I just watched yesterday this clip of Larry Elder and him discussing the problem within the black community. Lack of fathers, it's a cultural thing. And I was going to play that clip, but then I was like, ah, it's from 2023. It's a little dated. But yeah, it was...
Was Charlemagne agreeing with Larry Elder or trying to argue with him?
No, he just was just letting him talk.
Right.
But where he came from was a place of, I mean, Larry was responding and disagreeing. So clearly they had a difference of opinion on that topic. But anyway.
Well, anyway, he hosted the Daily Show. Because, did you know the Daily Show is back with Jon Stewart? I don't think we've talked about that yet.
Terrible. Jon Stewart, who was giving Trump crap for overvaluing his properties, and then, by the way, sold his Manhattan flat for 800% more than it was worth.
Yeah, it was at least that. Well, more than what it was on the tax rolls for, right?
Hypocrite.
Right. He had bought it for $4 million, but managed to keep it at 1.6 on the tax rolls, so he's only paying taxes on 1.6 and then flipped, turned around, and sold it for 16. Anyway, Charlemagne hosted the Daily Show in Stewart's absence last week and ripped into DEI himself. Now, he did this bait and switch routine where he admitted that DEI is crap, but the reason he says it was crap is it's not working because we have no more, you know, black people, for example, in power and Fortune 200 companies today in the C-suites as we did 10 years ago. And also,
well, let me ask
all
you this,
it's doing,
does it
all it's doing is
the percent of the population that is African American, because it's 13%. But that's the thing about DEI is that, I mean, equity seems like it would mean you would have 13%, right? But it's the same thing. Like, well, we want 30% or 40%. Okay, well, that doesn't represent
society. It depends on which ones you're asking, right? Some of them are saying that, yes, you should engineer all facets of your organization to be reflective of population demographics. I mean, the reality is 13% of American boardrooms are not full of black people, right? Like, it's not 13% yet. So they're nowhere close to that. So there's half of, you know, part of the DEI movement is it should be. So, you know, throw competency and other gauges of you know, climbing up the ladder in a corporation out the window, just promote up at least to where you get to that 13%. To your point,
but if you're going to be in corporate America, you need to have a basic understanding of math, which now math is racist, so you can't. How are you going to get to the top of the food chain?
Yeah, well, it's all in a top.
Arithmetic is something that you just didn't have to do as a kid.
Marxism, since day one, has always been an attack on merit and competency.
So, competency, that's the word you used, and that's exactly what you're lacking when you fill the boardroom full of underqualified people or underqualified pilots or whatever.
Well, if you're making the decision on anything but competency.
Right. Which we all agree is because terrible.
The bottom line is the greatest economist who ever lived is a black man named Thomas Sowell. And one of probably the 10 greatest Supreme Court justices who ever lived is a black man named Clarence Thomas. Mm. Right? It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It's right. Can you do the job and can you do it well? And if there's any other factors coming into the equation, then you're doing everybody a disservice. And that's what this, you know, this professor is making the point as it relates to the academic profession. And Charlemagne, out of one side of his mouth, is kind of saying, yeah, this is nonsense, but it's really only nonsense because it ain't working. And more importantly, it's a real problem because it's giving racists something to argue about. He's like basically saying it's like it's letting racists be racist out loud by pointing out, hey, look, you use DEI to promote a lady to the presidency of the heart of the what was supposed to be the most prestigious institution in the world, who's guilty of hundreds of instances of plagiarism.
Yeah. Do we have a clip from Kamala right now? I think we do.
I don't. I have clips on abortion. Well,
let's laugh first because she's the gift that keeps on giving. And you're actually the one that told me about this and I went and found it. But you know, March Madness has been really cool. And oh, I saw a funny meme. Caitlin Clark plays her last college game, goes on to the pros where no one will ever see her again. It's like she set all these records for like, oh, I don't know. Right. Like 12 million people watched that.
There was a Babylon Bee article that said Caitlin Clark has decided to step out of the limelight.
No, yeah, go play in the WNBA.
Step away from the limelight to go play in the WNBA.
Oh wait, hold on. The best part is she cues it up with she's telling this reporter that I'm going to give you a history lesson. This is great.
Do you know? Okay, a bit of a history lesson.
Cackle.
Do you know that the women's teams were not allowed to have brackets until 2022? Think about that. And what that talk about progress, you know, better late than never, but progress. But you know what, just how we love March Madness, and even just now allowing the women to have brackets and what that does to encourage people to talk more about the women's teams, to watch them. Now they're being covered, you know, and this is the reality. People used to say, oh, women's sports, who's interested? Well, if you can't see it, you won't.
There's a picture of Barack Obama's 2013 bracket right there, by the way. The women's tournament was conceptualized in the mid-80s, just for anyone that was wondering.
Yeah, I mean, what did she even think? What did she think she was saying? You're not allowed to have brackets.
We didn't let them have brackets.
Like, I know that she's one of the dumbest people in the public sphere. She's a moron.
An
unequivocal, literally slept her way to the top, dunce, right? With no perceivable skills. She apparently has an education because she managed to become a lawyer. But, like, what does she think she's saying? That they weren't allowed to have brackets? Like, they weren't allowed to fill out a bracket?
Maybe the men
or that they had a tournament that didn't include brackets? Like, what are you talking about, you dumb bee? Oh, by the way, yeah, there's, you know, in the clip that you just played, it had been, like, dressed up with this silly-sounding music over it and apparently a picture of Obama's 2013 bracket. That dumb lady has a tweet out in this X-sphere now that you can look up from the year before. So she claimed that there were no brackets allowed, whatever the hell that means, among women in college basketball until 2022, yet... There's a tweet out there where she's mocking her husband's busted ass women's bracket from 2021.
Yeah. I don't understand it. So it's like they had a tournament, but they weren't allowed to have brackets, or they didn't have a tournament.
Right. What are you saying, Kamala?
I don't know.
What does that even mean? But she doesn't know. That's why she sounds.
The best part of it for me was in case you didn't know, I'm going to give you a little history lesson here. I'm so smart. Listen to me. That guy, I don't know who the anchor was that was interviewing her because his back was to the camera, but he had to just be like, "Could you imagine?" I mean, he knew that she was full of crap. he's got to be embarrassed to even be interviewing her at that point.
I mean, you would think, right? Like, I could totally see. It's one of those moments where, you know, sometimes somebody will say something and you're like,
it's not right, but
they're saying it.
Yeah.
Like, so definitively, or maybe I'm wrong.
Right.
Right. Like,
maybe she's going to correct herself.
Right. Like, did he have a moment there where he was like, wait, is that right? At a minimum, I'm sure he's thinking like I am, like, what are you even, what do you mean they weren't allowed to have brackets?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Are you saying there was no tournament? That's definitely not true. Yeah. Are you saying somehow they managed to have a tournament without brackets? What did that look like? Are you saying that they weren't allowed to fill out a bracket? Who the hell was telling them they couldn't? What are you talking about? You crazy, dumb, high. She's on drugs, by the way, like for
here's
real.
Here's your history lesson for the day. Thank you, Kamala, the gift that keeps on giving. Such a you sent me just a note. I just want to mention how much I hate Dan Crenshaw, dude. I'm trying not to say the word hate. I'm gonna take
man, it's amazing.
I really don't like that guy. I can't. Ugh, he makes me want to say that word that I'm trying not to. I'm trying to erase hate from my vocabulary. That guy's a tool bag.
Yeah, man. He is playing us like fiddles, dude. Mm. He is a uniparty shill of the highest order, man.
Bad cool guy. Patch, though.
He's a bad guy.
Yeah. I ate lunch with my brother.
So condescending and such a douche, man. Oh,
oh yeah. The way he treated that girl at that one fundraiser a couple years ago. But I was talking with I went to eat lunch with my brother yesterday.
The Which one who's need
the one who aligns with us, and then maybe even a little farther. He told me yesterday he doesn't think we landed on the moon. So I was like, ah. He said basically they just told JFK we can't do it, and I was like, so you really don't think? He goes, well, we haven't done it again. Why would? I'm like, ah, that's a good point.
They've also had to admit that some of the footage that was questioned was in fact recorded in the studio.
Yes.
Recreating the scenes. Yeah. Hey man, it's a lot less controversial a possibility than like flat earth theory.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so he said there's an app out there that you can actually get that tracks Crenshaw and Pelosi's stock trading.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he saw this one girl invested $1,000 last week, and she's already up to $7,000.
Nice.
Yeah. So they're up to, I mean, they're up to no good. But
the point of Crenshaw is, right, he gave an interview, little gaggle thing outside the Capitol building the other day, where somebody asked him if the CIA is using the media to manipulate, to propagandize American citizens. Mm. And he scoffed at it, and he goes, no, I'm certain that's not happening. You got any evidence for that? And the guy like stuttered and stammered, and he goes, okay, can we have a serious question here? Can we have a serious question here, bro? I mean, come on. Can we have a serious question?
Hunter's laptop.
What? Bro, 51 former intelligence agencies who said Hunter's laptop was a Russian act of Russian different. I mean,
the plants at January 6th.
For a Republican in 2024.
Collusion with Facebook.
To have taken that approach the way he did. To not even be smooth enough to give us a little bit, to acknowledge a little bit, man, we've got some work to do with this whole intelligence operation to make sure it's doing its job to serve the American people. Like, I could sit here and vamp a response that was vague enough to keep me in their good graces, but also allow me to have some credibility, but to scoff at the idea. And yeah. So then the only reason I found out about it is because there's a former CIA guy who is former. He's still with the CIA. He's doing the CIA's bidding right now. What the hell is his name? Brian Dean Wright. He's had a show called The Wright Report for a while now. He was on that show, The Federalist. And he wrote an op-ed in the Washington, not the Post, the Washington Free Beacon, I think, ripping Dan Crenshaw for that and saying, yeah, absolutely the CIA, which he had been a career member of. And again, he doesn't get to speak on these things without approval.
Yeah, he's a spook. But,
right. Yeah, screw Dan Crenshaw, dude. Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, and my biggest gripe with him is that he's, aside from the insider trading, it's this whole Ukraine thing. I mean, all that guy is, all he is about military-industrial complex.
100%. Because,
well, I bet you those are the stocks that he's buying. Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, you can bet your ass that he made a ton of money on NVIDIA after we spent $700 billion on chip manufacturing as somehow part of the Inflation Reduction Act. And yeah, Boeing, Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin, et cetera, Raytheon. Yeah, no doubt about it.
He's
the military, you know, Palestine. Hey, he lost an eye in combat, so why would he not be a military industrial complex?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shill.
Did you see the pro-Palestine protesters that shut down the Senate cafeteria? Of course you didn't, because they don't report on that kind of stuff. I did see it, though. It looked about as violent as January 6th.
I saw the ones in Dearborn, Michigan chanting death to America.
Fascist. And no, that's the, isn't that the ironic thing is they call us fascist. That's what they call us. Death to America. You're a MAGA fascist. What is, huh? That's kind of like saying they didn't let them have brackets until 2022. I wanted to play this clip, and it is old, and I don't care, because I don't know why we never played this clip, but this is happening all over the country. We all know that. Anyone that listens to this show knows that. But I had not heard this lady talk, and I'm sure you're aware of the Rhode Island mom. Her name is Nicole Solis. She was sued by the Rhode Island Teachers Union. Did you know about this? Because she asked for the curriculum?
I don't think I know.
Okay, well, let's take a listen to it. I just found it today. Thought it was pretty interesting.
A mother from Rhode Island who was sued by the teachers union simply because I wanted to know what my kindergartner would be learning in school. And here's how this happened. I asked to see the curriculum and my school told me I had to submit a public records request. The curriculum wasn't posted online and it wasn't available in a school district. Then I asked them if they were teaching gender theory, and they told me that they don't call children boys and girls, and they embed the values of gender identity into every classroom, including kindergarten, and they didn't want to answer any of my questions further. They told me that they would communicate with me only through public records requests, and that is the only way I could get my questions answered. And when I did submit the public records request that they told me to submit, and I submitted hundreds because I had hundreds of questions, my school board then put my name on the agenda of a public school board meeting and held a public school board meeting to discuss suing me for submitting the request that they told me to submit. My name is Nicole Solis, and I'm...
Kind of reminds me of our political friend, Nikki Frenchco, county commissioner in Ohio that we had on recently. Well, is just a witch hunt here. Except, wait, you asked me to submit the request, and now you're suing me because I've sent you all these requests, and you don't want to disclose the answer because it makes you look like a bunch of groomers. And that doesn't that sum it up?
Yeah, I mean, literally, I don't. Yep.
I saw you clenching your fist when she was talking.
I mean, I'm glad you brought this to the table. I have nothing for it other than the thing. It's called, in law, there's this Latin phrase, res ipsa loquitur, which means the thing speaks for itself. There's nothing I can add to what she said and your commentary on it that would provide any further value. The thing speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And that's not unique to Rhode Island. So to extrapolate that times 10 in California. What do you have? Why don't you bring something? I know you've got some audio. I've got like three or four more clips, topics to get into, but
are we going to try to bag an extra one for next week? Do you want to try to do that tomorrow?
Or even Monday or something?
When do you leave?
I don't leave till Wednesday. We're going to Argentina.
Right. I got to fly to California on Monday, so we'd have to get it done before I take off.
All right. Well, we can sort that out afterwards. Just bring it. All right. Just bring it.
Okay, well, yeah, what I want to talk about is what we teased last week.
Your revelation.
Yeah. That and then some, though, because it's actually, I don't know if you've noticed, but it's come up in like three different areas across the country since our, since we recorded last week, right?
Right, well, then I think I have enough clips for a whole nother show, and they're not real time sensitive.
That's why I was asking, like, do you want to do those and we can have this as a standalone or vice versa? So that's cool.
No, we'll play these clips, and we'll do your revelation for an entire another conversation. Okay. How's that sound?
Because that's going to be I've said before, abortion is all the Democrats have, so it should be timely tomorrow or 2 weeks from now or on November 1st. So
okay, all right, cool. We'll get that one in the can for the next show. What I have here is, you know, I don't think we talked about this, but California raised the minimum wage for fast food restaurants to $20 an hour, except for Panera Bread. They get to stay at 15 because Gavin Newsom owns a share in Panera. So that seems fair. But the next day, I saw a sign from In-N-Out Burger, and it wasn't a huge price increase. Like, unless you were paying attention, you wouldn't know. But as soon as that happened, everything went up by like 5 or 6% across the board. Someone took a picture of, here's the menu. Yesterday, new law went into effect. Here are the new prices. Like, how do they not understand? It's going to always fall back on the consumer, and
they don't care.
How does that make sense?
It's not a matter of understanding. They don't care.
Nobody wins. It's the same amount of money is still changing hands. It's a joke.
Who do you think leftists want to win? They just want to break everybody.
So here's another example of this in our favorite Democratic run city of Minneapolis, and we're going to play this.
Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Fry is trying to get Uber and Lyft to stay in the market after the companies vowed to leave on May 1st because of a new city law requiring them to boost driver pay. Today he brought together tourism and airport leaders, as well as groups representing people with disabilities and the elderly, all concerned over the impact of Uber and Lyft leaving and calling on the city council to reconsider the ordinance they passed last month. That could happen at this Thursday's council meeting.
So bottom line is they upped the minimum wage for Lyft and Uber drivers to $15.57 an hour. And then Uber and Lyft were like, we're not paying that. Bye.
Peace.
So who wins here?
Nobody.
Nobody wins. Everyone loses. Now your citizens can't get rideshare apps, the two most popular ones, Uber and Lyft, because it made you feel good to say you have to pay those people more. Although the free market says, no, we don't. Now we're out.
Yeah. In leftism, nobody ever wins.
Stupid, man.
Unless you're the beneficiary of some whopper government contract that makes you rich, and then you get to hide from all the policies that you destroyed the world with. Like Nancy and her, you know, gated community with like hell all outside of it, but her estate's nice and tidy.
Here's one from Jasmine Crockett. She's a Democratic congresswoman from Texas. And I'm going to play it and I want to get your reaction.
Just this past week, I saw, I don't remember which celebrity, but it was actually a celebrity. And I was like, I don't know that that's not necessarily a bad idea, but I'd have to think through it a lot. One of the things that they propose is black folk not have to pay taxes for a certain amount of time, because then again, that puts money back in your pocket. But at the same time, it may not be as objectionable to some people about actually giving out dollars. But obviously, then you start dealing with the different tax brackets and things like that. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, we argue the reparations make sense, because so many black folk, not only do you owe for the labor that was stolen and killed and all the other things, right? But the fact is, like, we end up being so far behind, right? And so it's like, how do you bring forth people? Exactly.
Put fathers back in the house.
If you do the no tax thing for people that are already, say, struggling and aren't really paying taxes in the first place, it doesn't really, exactly.
They may want those checks like they got.
Exactly.
Just They may want those checks like they got during COVID. All right. You reflect on that, and then I'll give you my thought.
I'm all for anything that requires a piece of paper being signed that we shut up about this for the rest of eternity because it's been atoned for.
Yes. But do you actually see that as the end game?
I said
here?
This last time we had this conversation, yeah, that all they want to do is rip the scab off continuously. This lady doesn't want to actually pay reparations. Not the way that it would be designed, where it would be atonement for a past sin. There's no way in hell, even if she could scrape a few bucks out of somebody to give it, you know, to her constituents, she's, to your point, not actually interested in letting people get over it. Because then she has no power. All of their power derives from inflaming this, you know, now going on ancient pain and suffering. All of it.
You know what I... What came
also,
to my
forget
mind,
about the fact that she's in Congress making the argument that she's behind.
Right. Right. Well, but here's what I'm going to say is it is reparations. If you say black people, you don't have to pay taxes. Okay, that's your reparations.
Right.
Fine. Don't pay taxes for 5 years, whatever it is.
Sure.
Because... nothing's free. Someone still has to pay for that. Whether I hand you a check today.
All it does is work, make the deficit worse, which who gives a crap about that anyway? Nobody. Mm-hmm. You know?
When she said the labor and the killing, you know what came to my mind? This is where my mind went. I wonder in my Scandinavian history if the Vikings ever raped and murdered, you know, my relatives, or enslave them, or maybe I am a Viking and I did it to other people, but I guarantee you they had it done to them as well, because that's human history.
Yeah. The Scandinavians landed in England in 700 to 800 and raped, pillaged, and enslaved the English. And
or the Israelis yelling at the Egyptians for reparations for us. We had to help you build those pyramids, y'all. You owe us. This is just how the world has always worked. But I feel bad for the history of this country. But I don't feel anything personally. I don't feel responsible in any way, shape, or form, nor should I.
Okay, I agree. Fine. I don't feel bad for things I didn't do.
Right.
At the same time, you know, we paid reparations to Japanese Americans who were put in prison camps in the 40s after Pearl Harbor. We paid reparations to Native American tribes. We've paid reparations to lots of people just in the last 100 years,
mm-hmm,
across American society. And there's just no denying that, you know, we imported African slaves for over 200 years and they were a big part of building this country.
Okay. I'm fine with it.
There's no doubt that some of that impact still exists. Now, most of the reason it still exists is not because of slavery having happened, but because of the inflaming of people's emotions and their understanding of history, and way more importantly, terrible government policies like redlining and no man in the house rules.
Yeah.
That, and, you know, Joe Biden's crime bill law that put 500,000 black men in jail for minor drug offenses, mm-hmm, destroying basically black culture from the inside out.
Well, I heard Charlie.
But they can blame it all on slavery instead of their own terrible leftist liberal policies just of the last 60 or 70 years.
So both political parties are to blame for that, for destroying the black nuclear family.
Sure.
But he said essentially, black women have divorced black men and married the government.
Who said that?
I thought was, do what?
Who said that?
Charlie Kirk, which is true.
Sounds.
Yeah, but here's the problem. The rabbit hole with reparations is like, okay, just because you're black doesn't mean that you're a descendant of a slave. And if you think you deserve reparations
that's why it's a perfect wedge thing for them to pick at, right? They know damn good and well to actually ever do this be virtually impossible. Oh. They know damn good and well to draw that line would just piss off and alienate. That's where, you know, you always have to have hope that the left ultimately eats itself, right? We should pay reparations to slavery. Okay, so are we only paying them to what MoFax calls ADOS, American Descendants of Slavery? Well, but no, because like the history of slavery somehow affects all black people. Even like, you know, like Nigerians who have moved here with doctor, you know, who are medical doctors, who are among the most successful people in America. African immigrants who have come here, who are professionals, who have set up shop.
Now, that would be rich if we were paying reparations to descendants of the slave traders that sold them into America.
Right. but you see what I'm saying? Like, they know it's a quandary. That's why it's perfect for them. Mm. Because all they get to do, all they want to do is wave it around. You know, it's an emotional cudgel that they smack people with. But they know that the facts of the situation are far too complex to ever really bother even really truly wrestling with. They'll just have like silly votes in California where they say, we vote that you are going to pay us $15 billion. What? Where's it coming from? Who? Huh? How? Piss on all that.
Piss on that. I'm moving to Texas.
Right.
So we thought that Kamala was the moron of the day. Sonny Hostin's going to give her a run for her money here.
We've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Cicadas. Although for the first time in like 100 years.
There's two different kinds of cicadas.
Two different times are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No. Every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe.
But, in a way,
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists or something is really going on.
Earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground. No,
it happens. The eclipse, they've known about the eclipse coming because eclipses happen.
The best part is Whoopi and Joy have to say, lady, you're a moron. First of all, it's not cicada. Anyone knows that? Everyone. No. Cicada? Okay. Secondly.
The most irrelevant gaggle of Nimrods that get to sit on a stage of any type anywhere.
It's worth playing because it's so awesome.
Morons. But to your point, apparently Whoopi and Joy had at least some basic knowledge of like astrophysics and biology with which to thwart that insanity.
Climate change.
The eclipse and the eclipse and the cicadas are proof of climate change.
And the earthquakes, don't forget about the earthquakes. All climate change all the time. Smart people. I actually was like, wow, Whoopi, Joy, making sense for one time.
We're all dumber for having listened to this. May God have mercy on our souls.
I think we just wrap it up here unless you have anything else. I got one other clip and I'm going to save it for the next show.
And I really think everything that I was thinking about is appropriate for that next show.
Let me see if any of this other stuff is real time sensitive. No, it is not.
Scan. Oh, I do find it interesting that, So we've talked a little bit about Ashley Biden's diary, right? That's Hunter's sister who several years back, in fact, I think it popped up in 2020 in the last election cycle, that there was a alleged diary of Joe Biden's daughter that was delivered to Project Veritas, which resulted in former founder and CEO James O'Keefe having his house raided by the FBI to confiscate it. The lady who allegedly stole it. Now the story was it was abandoned in an apartment or house, I guess, that she was living in. And that it was later found in this place by the person, you know, by her roommate / I think maybe landlord, who then tried to sell it or did sell it or otherwise gave it to O'Keefe. In there, she mentions a lot of interesting things, one of which was that her dad would shower with her well beyond the age where it seemed appropriate.
Yeah. not alarming at all.
Yeah, you know the guy who likes to sniff little girls' hair and has boys to play with his leg.
No one actually believes that he sniffs.
Showering with his daughter.
Chisholm, nobody believes that he really sniffs kids, okay? Despite the 20, 30 videos out there of him sniffing kids.
So that chick's going to jail for having stolen, the news is reporting, having stolen Ashley Biden's diary. She's going to jail for 1 month. So it's not necessarily a huge deal. But you remember when Hunter went after the laptop repair guy?
Yeah.
You know, first it was the laptop's not real, but then all of a sudden he was trying to sue the laptop repair guy for having stolen his data and shared it around.
He left it there for 2 years.
Right. And signed a document that said having done so would surrender the property to the guy, right? He's got no grounds, but he tried. And he literally sat there and said, his counsel sat there and said, yeah, it's not real, but also it's real enough that this is a violation and we should be suing him. So like, in other words, like there's some real stuff on there, like bank statements and, you know, schedules maybe, and, you know, some emails about the 75 shell companies he was running for his family's, you know, international bribery Ponzi scheme. Mm-hmm. But like the pictures of him naked with hookers and crack, and the pictures of his 15-year-old niece in her underwear and all that stuff, that's not real. But some of it's real. But the bad stuff's not real. But we have to sue the guy. So similarly, the Hunter Biden, the Ashley Biden situation, where she alleges that her father was showering with her. Dude, just the fact that he did it long enough for her to remember it, right? Like a 1 or 2 year old toddler. Okay, it doesn't matter, right? Jump in the shower, right?
My girls are 9. I probably stopped showering with them when they were 4 or 5. I don't know.
That would be pushing it, right? Like, that's fine. Kindergarten and above.
Facilitate showers, or haven't for a long, long time. Like, you go shower. And I'm not involved in that process.
Yeah, I mean, I still help my youngest to take a bath by washing their hair. Is basically all at this point. But to your point, their years are about to get to kind of early puberty age. That was the point with my older two, where it was like, y'all keep the door shut now. Dad's going to keep the door shut. That's proper going forward, right? Sarah is just about to that point where we need to go ahead and segregate things.
Yeah.
The point is, dude, Ashley Biden, this should not have happened long enough for her to even recall it, is my point, right? Let alone be writing about it and pointing out it was way longer than it should have been. That's out there. And apparently it's real enough that the media is willing to acknowledge that this lady's going to jail for having stole it. I feel like I'm way too overboard with the like grand scheming and plotting, but doesn't that again seem almost like, doesn't it seem like a subtle undermining of Joe to acknowledge the existence and reality of this thing?
I mean, there's information about him showering with her at an inappropriate age, and that's the sitting president of the United States. When I was
they've authenticated that claim,
right,
by arresting and sentencing a woman to jail who supposedly stole the diary, meaning the diary is real. It belonged to Ashley Biden. Right. That all would have to be a prerequisite to this chick going to jail.
It's real, but not the bad stuff. That stuff's fake.
Right. Just like
I should believe that you're
right. The Russians hacked into the laptop to the hard drive and planted a bunch of stuff, and somebody added some pages to her to Ashley Biden's diary about showering with her dad.
Only the really bad stuff isn't real. The other kind of bad stuff, yeah, that's real.
Right.
That's hilarious.
I mean, but there's been so many of these things, right?
What I was going to say earlier was like, imagine a world where politicians did this, and we just put them on trial and strung them up and made them pay for their crimes. That would be a great place to live.
Sounds like utopia.
the opposite kind of.
There would be a lot less of it if that was legitimate. I mean, that's the bottom line, right? Is that there are no repercussions for any of this criminal behavior, right? Whether you're in Congress, whether you're a quote unquote news person who's just bull-faced lying to the American people, there's no accountability for any of it. MSNBC can sit there and spend 4 years lying about Russian collusion. And then not only do they not suffer any consequences other than failing viewership, but they have the audacity to turn around and claim themselves to have sacred airwaves where they only speak the truth. And where they don't allow peddling in conspiracies about elections when they spent 4 years claiming Hillary got robbed by the Russians.
Right. And I'm still waiting for the first Democrat head to roll. Still here, still waiting. You keep promising me one, but it never happens.
It's coming.
That's what you always say.
It's coming.
But hey, we can go back to the start of the show and we can hope.
That's
all it is at this point. I don't believe it.
Here's one. Bob Menendez from New Jersey, the senator, right? When mountains of evidence of Joe Biden's family selling his influence is out there, but they're claiming no evidence. They decide to bring Bob Menendez up on charges for taking gold bars as bribes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's out. He's been forced to retire while he's currently facing criminal charges. So they're not going to hang the one you want them to hang, but somebody's going to end up having to hang to create the appearance of a house cleaning. I still think both the Clintons and the Bidens are ultimately going to be blamed for Trump, for the Democrats. I sincerely believe will hang both of those families in the not too distant future as an atonement for letting their party get so far out of whack.
For the most widespread political corruption in American history, that period.
Right. I mean, that's the thing, is like, there's enough, they've done enough. They could, we've watched them pivot on a dime, right? Like, you can watch them just change their mind. You know, these aren't the droids you're looking for, right?
Yeah.
Like, instantaneously, or, you know, we've always been at war with East Asia. We've never been at war with Africa, you know, whatever. Like, that. They've done enough, and they've, the three of them, those being Bill, Hillary, and Joe, are way past their expiration dates, right? Like,
let me ask you this question. When, let's just say folks that are 25 years younger than us, 25 years from now, say they've voted in one or two elections, and they voted for Biden. 25 years from now, are they going to look back and say, that was corrupt, that was so messed up, I can't believe American politics got to that point? Or do you think we're just going to keep going down the slope that we're on? And maybe
no,
this
there,
kind of
there's,
corruption
there's
won't
a bottom
even look that
to
bad
it.
Then.
There will be a bottom to it where people have had enough. The question is, how far away are we from that bottom? How low is the bottom? And how long does it take to start fixing things? It may not happen in our lifetime.
Yeah.
But it will. I mean, either the country will just break apart, you know.
Gulf
or,
Coast states of America, baby. I'm here for it. Yeah. Sign me up.
There will be a grand awakening, which has to be a component of a true Christian spiritual revival.
Well, that's a perfect segue for next week's show, the big revelation. So, for Chisholm Cook, I'm Cable Smith. That's going to do it for episode 170 of Justified Pursuit. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you guys next time.
It's just a matter of time. Joe's going down.